Let's set our clocks back 200 years ago. We are now in the 1800s. During this time in society, women were subjected to silence. We did not use our voice because we were considered inferior. Education was just a mere dream. There was nothing in store for us young women. Now, let's set our clocks forward to the present, where girl power is an evolving movement. The power of a girl must only rise. We are the wisdom seekers, the commotion stirrers, the society evolvers, and the holders of divine mystery of what will be uttered next from the fruit of our lips. We must plant the seeds and spread as much light as the sound of our voices produce. Girl power is not only a movement of unity, it is a way of life that embraces every girl from every culture, spreading infinite love like confetti. Because girl power originates from love, a love that sparks the passion to be great.
Lead. Overcome. Value. Empower.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jasmine Babers, founder of Love Girls Magazine that started in 2012. And we've grown past a magazine. We fight bullying. We support young women in our community. And we want to welcome you to Love Girls, the podcast.
I am Michaela Hughes Shaw, longtime volunteer, storyteller, and podcast host for Love Girls Magazine. The podcast is back with some fresh new voices in 2021 because it is our mission to uplift the stories of young women. Stay tuned and help us share their stories with the world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Kira Fox, and I am super excited to join the podcast. I'm a broadcast media professional and a local of Rock Island, Illinois, born and bred. I actually attended Rock Island High School with Michaela and Jasmine, so it's super awesome to be a part of this. I remember watching LGM start off as, you know, their baby and then seeing them on TV. So I'm super excited to see, you know, what the future holds for everyone. But in particular, I'm really excited to be a part of this.
Hi, my name is Brianna. I'm 12 years old, and I go to Rivermont Collegiate. I'm one of the youngest members of LGM, so I'm really excited to grow up with this group of women, and I'm really excited. This is my very first podcast, so I'm really excited to be here and be part of the team.
Writers have the most important job in the world. Writers create our favorite movies, books, and songs. They document our history and bring information to the world. Today, we are talking about our favorite writers with one of our favorite writers, Jasmine McCaskill.
Jasmine was a victim of bullying in high school. She took to YouTube and Love Girls magazine to share her story. She will graduate from Spelman College in the spring of 2021. She's a documentary film major, and she is former writer for the rollingout.com. She has recently stepped down to pursue her own writing. Her most recent article was What Stacey Abrams Means to Spelman College, Georgia, and Beyond.
So, Jasmine, talk to us a little bit about connecting with Love Girls Magazine in high school. What was it like for you?
Oh my goodness. Love Girls Magazine, wow. I believe I first connected through the magazine when I was, I think, 14 years old. I was modeling for a Bell That Cares outreach, which was the outreach that basically gave women in the community ball gown dresses for prom and other special occasions. And I believe through one of the events at the outreach, Love Girls Magazine was there. Miss Shanitha Shipp, I believe, was there giving out magazines, as I remember she did all the time. And I think that's how the connection was made, just through speaking with her that day. I think we had an anti-bullying retreat or an anti-bullying event or something of the sort. She was there. I think Love Girls was a sponsor. So just from that moment of meeting, I remember we had a picture that we took that day as well. And then from that point on, I believe that was 2013. Then the next year in 2014, I published my first article with Love Girls about my experience with bullying in January. So yeah, it was a very quick turnaround, but it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
So, Jasmine, I have a quote from one of your articles that you wrote for LGM in high school. You wrote, "The power of a girl must only rise. We are the wisdom seekers, the commotion stirrers, the society evolvers, and the holders of divine mystery of what will be uttered next from the fruit of our lips. We must plant the seeds and spread as much light as the sound of our voices produce. Girl power is not only a movement of unity, it is a way of life that embraces every girl from every culture, spreading infinite love like confetti. Because girl power originates from love, a love that sparks the passion to be great."
I remember that. Yeah. So, Jasmine, what or who exactly inspired you to write this article? Oh, my goodness. You know what? During that time, I was heavily on my YouTube channel. I did a YouTube channel called Hello Fear. It was the Hello Fear movement when I was in high school. And on that platform, I was always trying to encourage really everybody, but I definitely had a favor towards young girls, young women, sort of like Love Girls Magazine does. And I used to write poetry just really to uplift young girls in my community, young girls in my high school, my peers. And I believe that article, I just wrote from my heart, just from the women who I had inspiring me that point in my life, my friends at my school, also like inspirations that I was seeing in front of me. Just honestly, that moment, that quote was just birthed from just a beautiful place inside. And honestly, when I look back on that quote and when I reread that article, I just smile inside because it was really the beginning of this writing journey that I'm on and really finding my writer's voice. Yeah.
That's awesome. And myself, I really do enjoy writing too. So I think that's really phenomenal that you were able to find your voice in that way. Today, we are talking about writers with quotes worth remembering. So, you know, if you can think of like the late Toni Morrison, who was an American novelist, essayist, book editor, and college professor. Her first novel, The Bluest Eye, was published in 1970. She wrote, "Here was an ugly little girl asking for beauty, a little black girl who wanted to rise up out of the pit of her blackness and see the world with blue eyes."
I feel from that quote that I'm getting the message from it that it was basically saying that a little black girl was wanting to be the beauty standard, because I feel like in today's society, the beauty standard is to be a white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes. So she was wanting to see the world as a beauty standard to see how different it would be. That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Also, if I can add, I really appreciate this quote in Toni Morrison's writings. I actually did not read Toni Morrison until I got to Spelman College. That actually like just shows how the public school system can really fail black girls and not teaching us black women writers. But I first learned of Toni Morrison and her writings being at Spelman. Like every Spelman student should leave the gates of Spelman knowing Toni Morrison. So I really value that quote in her life and her legacy that she leaves through her writings.
Absolutely. And, you know, where the public schools sometimes fail us, I feel like us as, you know, the black community should, you know, try to compensate in that area. So like, I remember one summer, my mom made me read a book called The Skin I'm In. And she made my sister read in the summer, you guys, she made my sister read The Bluest Eye. So it was just really phenomenal that, you know, a lot of people see Toni Morrison as someone to kind of help be the catalyst for writing in their careers. And it's awesome that they have that at Spelman, by the way. But I mean, I wouldn't doubt that being from a school like that. But yeah.
So Jasmine, you are graduating from an HBCU, a historically black college. What do you say to people who feel that HBCUs are no longer relevant or racist?
This is honestly my favorite question that I get on the regular basis, because coming out of high school, I went to a predominantly white high school in South Haven, Mississippi. It's called DeSoto Central High School. It was a predominantly white high school. Yes, majority white. And, you know, around here, the closest schools are Ole Miss, Mississippi State, University of Southern Mississippi, even University of Memphis. And with me really wanting to go to Spelman, it turned a lot of heads, because I was getting a lot of full ride offers from all of the local places. And I remember when I was trying to make my decision, because if any of you have went through the senior year process where you have all of these admissions acceptances and you're trying to figure out which school you want to go to, which school really fits you, I was definitely going through that period of just, you know, wanting to really feel at home at an institution. I can finally have a choice, you know? So when I toured Spelman College, I automatically knew this was home for me. This was going to be the place where I want to spend my next 4 years. And when I made that announcement, I had a lot of turned heads to me because of the simple fact that people believe that HBCUs do not prepare you for the real world. And also, they'll even say that HBCUs are not diverse in their population. And I immediately come back and say, first and foremost, being at the HBCU, which is a historically Black college and university, majority Black students, it teaches you so much about your culture. But not only that, Black people are unique within ourselves. My neighbor is not going to be the same as me. For instance, my freshman dorm, we had girls from Jamaica, we had girls from New York, we had girls from Cali, all over the nation, all over the world. So to simply say, first and foremost, that HBCUs are not diverse is definitely a lie. Also, when it comes to preparing you for the real world, we see right now HBCU grads that are taking over different industries, different careers. You got HBCU doctors, you have HBCU lawyers, HBCU artists and musicians, and HBCU vice president that's coming in January. So it's
blessed.
It's definitely a testament that HBCUs are necessary. And they're not exclusive to only Black people. HBCUs were made because Black people were not allowed to go to college. They were not allowed to go to the same schools as our white counterparts. So we made these safe havens for us to exist and to freely be in ourselves in this space, to be boldly Black, to be boldly ourselves. And so, you know, with that just being said, anyone can apply to come to HBCU. Anyone can come, but just know that, just speaking for my institution, it is the hub of Black girl magic. It is the hub of Black girl excellence, and it is a true safe haven for the Black woman.
I just agreed with everything that you just said, so thank you for that.
No problem.
Absolutely. This whole time you were speaking, I was just like, yes.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you, because, I mean, honestly, fun fact, when I first toured Spelman, I toured Spelman in October of 2016, my senior year of high school. When we went to go tour, one of the parents on the tour, just as a random question, or just like as just a question to solidify what we already knew, she asked my tour guide, "What do you say to people who say that HBCUs are not diverse?" And quickly, like, I mean, 5 seconds, it's like, how can you say a space is not diverse when there's so many different women who come here? To say that each of us are the same, to say that because we're the same skin color, that we love the same things, or that we our purpose is the same, or our calling is a unique area, that is the most saddest thing you could ever say. Because, I mean, each of us on this podcast right now, we are different. We have our different desires. We have our different goals in life, and we come from different places. And that's the most important thing, is because diversity is not just race. Diversity is not just how we look on the outside. Diversity is who we are and what our story is. So, yeah.
Yes.
Eloquently said. Okay. I really do appreciate your input on that, because I have to agree. I mean, the HBCU experience, coming from someone that was like enrolled to go, I was enrolled to attend Texas Southern University in the fall of 2017, but Hurricane Harvey kind of rerouted my journey. And I must say, like, there's nothing like being around people attending an HBCU, because unlike, you know, a PWI, like, there are things revolving race and culture that you have to address. Whereas going to an HBCU where it's predominantly Black, you, like, that one thing is alleviated. Like, you don't focus on, you know, your qualms with race. You don't focus on disagreeing with people and fraternities and things like that. Like, you mainly focus on the complexities of your fellow, you know, colleagues. You know what I mean? Like you're more focused on the culture, and the African diaspora is so broad. So I feel like there's diversity within that. And, you know, only I feel like we will understand that because we are Black.
and it's safe. Like being in the classroom, I mean, I go to an all girls HBCU, but I mean, even Morehouse students can cross register at my institution. So I've been in the classroom with, you know, just Black guys and girls, and, you know, just the safety of that space, being able to learn, having classes specifically for the culture, and not having to worry about, you know, being like, for instance, like for me, when I was in high school, we would learn American history, and you learn slavery and just think that's the only thing, you know, worthy about the Black existence. And you have your white counterparts kind of devaluing your existence and how you feel. You don't have that there. You don't have that at an HBCU. What you have is safety. What you have is professors who really care about you and really want the best for you and really want to see you succeed and be all that you're called to be. So it's literally, like I said, a safe haven. And I'm so glad that I chose Spelman to be to be a student at, because it's definitely more than prepared me for what the world outside is going to look like. I am more prepared because I went to an HBCU, because I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what my identity is, not only through my faith, but through my Blackness as well. You know, and I can stand tall on that. I can stand tall on knowing where I come from, and the value of that. We don't just start at slavery. You know, that's not the history of our people. We are a beautiful, beautiful people. Like you said, the African diaspora is so broad, right? So, you know, to just limit to one existence, it's a shame, for real,
right?
Yeah.
And I go to a mostly white private school, so some of that for me is kind of, when we go through history classes and we learn about slavery, a lot of the kids look at me and think that it's a tough topic to talk about, when really it's just mostly like teaching you, and a lot of kids need to be taught about Black history, because now it's such a big deal because of everything that's just been going on. Mm-hmm. So just like growing up in a mostly white school, it's been hard, because kids will mostly come up to me and be like, just ask me about my culture, and then they just don't understand. So kind of, it's just like, you want to go to a school that makes you feel comfortable and that you're home and that you're safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember those times so vividly. I could not wait to get up to high school. I could not wait. I was so ready to go to the AUC, which is a Atlanta University Center with Spelman, Morehouse, and Clark Atlanta. Girl, I was ready. So trust me, I understand the life.
Man, I could not imagine being in like high school or middle school right now. Like as if you didn't have it hard enough in school, being like the, you know, token Black girl, what have you. Like with today's climate, I could not imagine being somewhat the liaison for Black people and the Black voice among your colleagues. Like, not only do I have to pretty much let you in on my experience, but I have to basically teach you guys what I already know, as, you know,
right,
with truth, you know, that I, that my people have experienced.
So. And Google is free. So like, okay. I don't like, there was this whole thing this summer, you know, when the George Floyd protests happened, that, you know, just like we supposed to teach our white counterparts the 400 years of systemic slavery. No, like, that's not our ability. Google is free. Like, there are a bunch of resources and books and authors and things that you can look at, documentaries, like the list goes on and on. Like, it's not, I mean, I don't think, I mean, if someone comes to us and really just wants to genuinely learn, like, I do not mind talking about, you know, the type of oppression that we see. But I mean, as far as going through the whole 400 years, baby, open a book. Open a book.
That's a lot of years to cover. Okay. That's a lot of years to cover. But I mean, hey, we do what we can. Just kind of like glancing back at your quote, Jasmine, we live in an era of keyboard bullies. So just in general, when you publish an article, do you worry about what others think or say?
Yeah. So that was so funny, because when I started at Rolling Out, I don't even think I realized like how many people tune into the content. And so honestly, I was never afraid because I'm very specific in what articles I write. And we had freedom. Like I had freedom to be able to, you know, choose what articles I wrote. As long as it uplifted the Black community, I was able to write it. But I do a lot of positive pieces. Like all of my pieces through Rolling Out have been positive, uplifting different artists, uplifting different politicians. And I was never afraid of the comment section. Actually, I loved it because, you know, they were celebrating the people who were in the article. So to even go beyond Rolling Out, because I've taken screenwriting classes at Spelman because I'm a writing minor. So whenever we have to workshop and share our work, share our scripts, at the beginning, I was nervous too, because I never really like shared these writings with anyone. But honestly, getting critiqued is truly something that I've come to love because it makes me better in my craft. And that even goes beyond writing and even goes into my film projects.
That is amazing. And you just made my heart smile, girl, because I write scripts like just for fun. And I wasn't like a film major or minor or anything like that. But I was like a thespian in college. So I pretty much had, you know, a little bit of experience professionally too with acting and directing and editing and all of that. So creatively, please keep going because we need all the representation we can get.
Hollywood media, for sure.
Absolutely. And plus, like, there's so much inspiration that comes from writing, especially screenwriting, because whatever pictures you can paint or illustrate for the mind, you know, that's going to be conveyed through actors, directing, all of that. So you just, I feel like whatever you can come up with and comprise, taking that constructive criticism is definitely going to help you in the long run.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So number two on our list of writers needs no introduction, Maya Angelou. There's actually a really great documentary on Netflix. I think you guys should check it out. I forgot the name, but it's about her. And she made the phrase, when you know better, you do better. Very popular. And I live by it pretty much. So writing is a tough job to earn money at also. Maya, of course, was very successful in writing and film. Nudge, nudge. But that is not the case for a lot of people. Do you worry about not being able to earn a living making films and writing?
You know, fun story. I came into Spelman and I declared my major as as English, sorry. And I did that because Spelman, the English department at Spelman has been there for a long, long, long time. Like I felt a sense of security in there. I knew that there have been people who are in the entertainment and film career field who have been English majors at Spelman. And then I took a film class the first semester I was there. So the fall semester I was there, I took an intro to doc film. It was a brand new major. Let me say that. It was a brand new major because they've never had a film anything at Spelman. It's always been, if you want to be a film person, you want to be in the career of film, then go through the English department or maybe go through the drama department. So I took the intro to doc film class, right? And I absolutely loved it. And it scared me because I was like, I want to stay where I'm comfortable in the English department because I've seen the fruit of it, right? But I have an amazing advisor. Her name is Anjanette Levert. She's a professor at Spelman. And she was really trying to persuade me to come over to be a doc film major. And I was just like, no, I don't know about all that. I need a job after college. I was just very, no. And then the next semester, spring semester, I actually met her in the CAF. And, you know, if any of you are thinking about the HBCU experience, your professor is going to know you. They are going to want you to succeed in every aspect of your life. And they will stop you all over campus and just speak to you. That's just a friendly experience that HBCU experience is. So back to what I was saying, she pulled me aside and she was really encouraging me to be in this department, be in this new major. And I hit her with all of my fears, all of my questions, all of the questions about money and am I successful? Listen, I'm just like, am I going to be successful? Like, I really don't know. And let me also say this, my dad worked in journalism for years. So I was no stranger to the creative stuff, right? So anyway, after that long, we talked up there for like 2 hours, honestly. Like, I'll tell you, the professors are involved, they're involved. So finally, after that conversation, I prayed about it and I changed my major that spring. And when I tell you, after just sitting with God about that and changing the major, I know that God is with me on this journey of creating. Like, I feel really confident that I'm going to be taken care of. I believe it's my calling. I started this platform in college called Jasmine Renee TV. That now is called Jasmine Renee Studios, which hopefully will be a big major film company one day. But
crossing my fingers, honey.
It's what I'm called to do. I'm called to be the bridge where kingdom and culture collide. And, you know, it's just through making the projects at Spelman, through making my first two documentaries, having a stable audience, to now having my thesis film, and I've raised over $5,000 for the production project. It lets me know that people believe in me and my abilities, and they believe that they're sowing into good ground. You know, I'm just following whatever the path that God has for me, and I'm not worried at all. Matter of fact, I feel the most at peace. And, you know, you don't really hear that a lot from art majors. You know, it's usually like, I don't know what I'm about to do. You know, you kind of like, there's no,
don't I know it?
Yes, like, there's no perfect path for arts majors and alike, you know, because with bio or any type of nursing or doctor, you can go straight to med school. But with us,
yes,
like, what do you do? But when I tell you, I've had a peace beyond understanding, especially like right now in this season, trying to solidify post-grad plans. I just believe I'll be taken care of. 100%.
Oh, that's a blessing. Well, how do you think your confidence maybe was tested potentially when COVID hit? Because I mean, you're so close to graduation, and it's just kind of like,
yes, yeah, absolutely. So when the pandemic hit in March, my fellow sisters who were graduating as the first cohort of students graduating with the Bachelor of Arts degrees in documentary film, we were preparing to submit our preliminary thesis proposals in April. And so, you know, this whole thing was, I was thinking I was going to be on campus to be able to shoot my thesis film. Like, I did not expect any of this, right? So we had to submit our preliminary thesis, which honestly was just a piece of paper that was going to be totally different than what we're doing now, because this pandemic just keeps growing stronger. And throughout the summer, when I realized that this pandemic was not just going to be a 2-month thing, it was going to go into the fall and such, I just got really discouraged, because I was like, am I really about to do a thesis film in a pandemic? Like, am I really about to produce? How am I going to produce something in the like my whole mind was just like, no, this is not what I went towards. Like, this is not what I've spent 3.5 years preparing for a thesis to be in quarantine. So long story short, you know, I solidified my thesis topic. I mean, it actually worked out, because the story that I'm going to be doing is based in my hometown. It's going to be called Homecoming. It's the story of Zoe Hines, who was my alma mater's first Black homecoming queen here. So it totally fits me being home for a while. And it just really all fell into place. But this summer, I was very discouraged, because I did not want to bear the burden of trying to produce something. But if anything this year has showed me, is to not grow weary. Do not grow weary in doing good and pursuing your purpose. Because when I announced the film in October, literally I launched a campaign, a fundraising campaign, and then 2 weeks later I raised all $5,000. And I can't even tell you, like, wow. It's the grace of God, for real. But that really just gave me the motivation to continue, and that all this is not in vain. Just because this looks different, just because this pandemic is making things a little bit not normal, does not mean that you've been forsaken. This is still going to be an amazing thesis film, and you're still going to reach all of your goals during this pandemic. So, yeah.
Wow, that was incredibly inspiring. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, I really needed that. Okay.
So number 3 on our list of writers to remember is Marianne Williamson. She wrote Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Number four on our list is not a woman. However, the poem inspired a play written by Lorraine Hansberry, A Raisin in the Sun. Langston Hughes is number four with What Happens to a Dream Deferred? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode?
So, Jasmine, I have a question for you. What are your hopes and dreams for the future?
Oh, I love that question as well, you guys. as far as my biggest goal, my biggest dream in life, I believe that I will own my own studio. It'll be called Jasmine Renee Studios. I'm already walking the faith out right now. I started my own platform. I have a website, jasminerenestudios.com. I'm making projects through there. But when it comes to the middle, what does the middle look like before I get to the point where I have this wonderful studio production company? I am truly just going where God leads me. Really, I have a strong heart for PR. I believe that is where I will start. That's where I will get my start in all of this. But I do plan to hopefully in the middle go to film school one day. If not, something, a program similar in the coming year or two. And I'm just really just going to go where God leads me. Again, like I said, I'm really just taking it one day at a time, especially now in this pandemic. I've really learned to take it one day at a time, because I can easily sit here and try to map out the next 5 years. You should have saw me mapping out 2020. Like,
coronavirus said,
you thought it was not going to go like that at all. But, you know, I feel extremely confident in my gifts and my abilities. And again, like with the whole fundraising for my film, and just to see how many people actually supported me, and not just supported me, because like you can easily support someone by watching what they have. You can easily support Love Girls by listening to the podcast. But it's another thing when you sow a seed. Like, it's another thing when you say, I'm going to put my money into something. Like, I really value this thing. And the fact that people have done that for my projects just lets me know that I'm going in the right direction. So someone who did that similarly that you guys may know is Ava DuVernay. She started
Ava DuVernay, I was just about to say that.
She started PR, hello. And I should also plug that I am starting my PR company on the side called Renee Relations. And I've been doing a lot of my friends and peers, social media, flyers, video. So PR is something, again, that I really love. And, you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time. But I've seen some great filmmakers start in PR. So do not doubt PR. It's a great field.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I feel like we would just really get along. So I'll just press, you know, we'll continue. But we'll have to chat after the show, because
for sure.
We're just dropping gems, honey. But so my next question, I obviously can't see you guys, but I would ask, raise your hand if you're a Beyonce fan, but you know.
I for sure am. I love her.
Really? Okay, great. So number five on our list is a quote from Queen Bee herself, from my favorite album, her most recent solo album, Lemonade. Do y'all remember that one, that project?
Yes, I remember when that came out.
Listen, spoke my life. Wonderful. It was a wonderful project. But there was, what was it? I think it was like an interlude. I forgot exactly what two songs it was between. But she did like a series of poetry between all of the like video projects that she did. And one of the poems, the quote is, Grandmother, the alchemist. You spun gold out of this hard life, conjured beauty from the things left behind, found healing where it did not live, discovered the antidote in your own kit, broke the curse with your own two hands. You passed these instructions down to your daughter, who then passed it down to her daughter. I found that so powerful. Like, it was just, that quote alone was so, I don't know, it was just so like fortifying. How did you guys feel about like her message throughout that project?
I think I was really young when it came out, but looking at it now, I really, really like it because it's just so powerful. And like the whole album that she did, even with the poems, I still, like, even now, I still listen to it and I just really love it. So the whole I just love Beyonce in general. So whatever she says, I love.
Right. She can do no wrong.
One thing that I love about B is her dedication to passing generational wealth. So, like, we already see Blue Ivy is already, you know, out here getting awards and stuff. And, you know,
coin.
Exactly, getting coin. And so, and honestly, that is definitely a goal that I share is, you know, all of this that I'm doing in my life, wanting to build, wanting to own my own business, wanting to own my own studio. All of that is something that I want to give my children, their children, you know, and that's just something that I really value about B and her work is that, you know, she's thinking about legacy. She's thinking about Blue and her kids and her grandkids and, you know, et cetera. So, yeah.
I love it. And I live because I am such an advocate for family and such an advocate for like generational wealth, obviously, but not so much from the wealth aspect, but just what you can sow into like the younger generation. Like I'm so big into teaching my nephews and nieces and my son just things, even though my son is only like 1 year old, but just teaching and sowing into him so many different things that I really want to instill in my own legacy. Like I just find it so just it's inspirational because it just, even with Black is King, I don't know if you guys have seen that. If so, go ahead over
I've
to
seen Disney it. Plus.
You haven't seen it?
I've seen it. I love it.
Yes, bless you. Okay. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad that Beyonce stands for something like that. But so I think that kind of brings us to our conclusion, Miss Jasmine. So thank you so much for joining us today. To our listeners who would like to be a guest on Love Girls, the podcast, please do contact us at lovegirlsmagazine.com. And before we wrap up, it's time for the speed round. So Jasmine, we are going to ask you 5 questions and you have to answer in as few words as possible.
Oh God.
One word okay. Again. So first thing that comes to your mind, just go ahead and spit it out.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Favorite food?
Nachos.
Last thing you watched on Netflix?
The Crown.
Favorite color?
Sorry.
Favorite movie?
Coming to America.
Best thing in 2020?
The faith, the growth in faith I've had.
Yes.
Okay, same. Well, Jasmine, if people want to connect with you, where can we find you on social media?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at Jasmine Renee M. That is JASMINERENEM. You can find me on Facebook. I have a page called Jasmine Renee McCaskill, JASMINERENE apostrophe. And my last name is McCaskill, MCCASKILL. If you want to see anything Jasmine Renee Studios related, you can follow Instagram and Facebook at Jasmine Renee Studios. And then you can also hit up my YouTube channel where I've posted the films I've done too at Jasmine Renee TV. And as always, if you want to learn more about Renee Relations Company, our Instagram at is RENE Relations Co. I have a lot of accounts, I'm sorry, but it all works together. It all works together. So I love to connect. I love to collaborate. So yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, I am so happy for you. And yes, keep it going. So we're gonna let Brianna have the last word today. She is a writer also, and as we recently told you, she wrote a poem. So Brianna, would you like to share it with us?
I would love to.
Okay.
So my poem is called I Am Who I Am. My name is Brianna. I am a girl whose skin is brown and loves to shine in the sun. I'm a girl who has big, beautiful, brown, curly hair that everyone wants to touch and feel. I'm a girl who gets an attitude when I don't like something or something doesn't go the way I want it to. I'm a girl who's proud to be Black and embraces my culture. I'm a girl who is feisty at times and shy at other times. I'm a girl who wants all the attention in the world. I'm a girl who has been dancing for almost 10 years. I'm a girl whose father isn't in her life anymore. I'm a girl who stands up for anything and anyone that needs it. I'm a girl who speaks about tough topics when people are confused about them. I'm a girl who has a lot of siblings that I love very, very much. I'm a girl who cries over really bad, sad movies. I'm a girl who loves to make other people laugh and I'm a girl who loves to make herself laugh. I'm a girl who is definitely not a morning person. I'm a girl who loves to listen to music and listens to the same song over and over and over again. I'm a girl who loves to watch all the Harry Potter movies. I'm a girl who absolutely loves everything 80s. So I am who I am.
Oh, that was so good. Yes.
Thank you.
Please, yes, definitely keep writing. Both of you, please keep writing.
Thank you.
Keep living and keep writing. So that's wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jasmine.
Thank you guys for inviting me.
Yeah.
Love Girls Magazine. And thank you all just for supporting me over the years. Definitely all my love.
Absolutely. Well, to anyone interested, please contact us if you'd like to be a guest on Love Girls, the podcast. We would love to have you because every girl has a story that deserves to be told.